So this is a path of wisdom. When we say that it's a path of wisdom, what that means is that, you know, we have wisdom inside of ourselves, what we sometimes call an innate wisdom. It's something that we have inside of ourselves. So we're talking about this wisdom. It's not something that we get from outside of ourselves. You don't really get it from a Dharma talk or reading a book or even reading the Buddha's suttas. This wisdom you have within yourself, the teachings, the Dharma talks, the suttas, etc., help us learn how to connect to our wisdom and to develop the wisdom that we have inside of ourselves. This wisdom, this innate wisdom that we all have, you know, and of course, we come to understand that we do have this wisdom as we begin to connect to it and begin to learn to see that this is something that, you know, transcends an intellectual wisdom and transcends something outside of ourselves. And of course, as we begin to connect to it and know it more and more, then we begin to rely on it more and more. It's sometimes called internal assurance. So, in the service of developing the wisdom that we have inside of ourselves, putting ourselves on this path of wisdom, in large part, what we're asked to do is to look at our actions. To look at our actions. So we have this wisdom inside of ourselves, and what we do in order to be connected to that wisdom and to allow that wisdom to guide us in our lives is look at our lives. Look at our lives and ask, what am I doing? What am I doing? So we look at what we're doing. We look at our actions. You know, and we ask questions oftentimes, not as a way of presenting an inquiry that we try to enter in intellectually, but as a way to connect inside into our wisdom. So the question helps us focus the wisdom that we have inside of ourselves. And if we don't ask the questions, you know, then we're not really able to use the wisdom that we have. And then that's a problem. So what we do is we rely on other people's wisdom. So what we're asked to do in following this path of wisdom, which means what we're asked to do in the service of developing our own wisdom and using the wisdom that we have inside of ourselves, is to look at what we're doing, to look at our actions. What am I doing? Is what I'm doing leading to happiness? Is what I'm doing leading to happiness? So the wisdom inside of ourselves, really, what it comes down to in the end is, inside of ourselves, in the heart, in this place of innate wisdom, we understand what we need to do in this life to be happy. We understand what we need to do to alleviate our suffering. We understand what we're doing that's causing us suffering. But we're not connected to that understanding. So concentration really helps us create a channel. You know, it's said that in concentration, you know, our attention tends to be in all these thought realms and thinking about all the things that we think we know and outside of the body. And in concentration, we bring the attention into the body and into this heart center, what the Thais call the citta, into this place of wisdom. So it's a real thing. So, you know, the concentration, you know, allows us to be able to converge our awareness in the heart and in this place of wisdom. And in order to be able to develop this wisdom and use it, we have to look and ask these questions. Because, we have this wisdom. And of course, again, the concentration and the practice is integral in terms of being able to help us connect to it. But if we don't use it, if we don't rely on it, then we're really relating to our lives from a place of non-wisdom, or what the teachings call ignorance. So in developing a path of wisdom, we look at what we're doing and we ask, is this leading to happiness? Is what I'm doing leading to happiness? Are the actions that I'm taking leading to happiness? Now this, and this has always really struck me how, most of my life I never asked those questions, or I always asked those questions in terms of, what is everybody else doing to find happiness? How can I do what everybody else is doing? I mean, to some extent, that's, tacit. It's not, I'm doing that unwittingly, but that's what we tend to do. What we tend to do, of course, is go along with what everybody else is doing without really inquiring whether or not what everybody else is doing and what we're doing in emulating everybody else is leading to happiness. So we're, as Nietzsche said, we're going along with the herd. We're going along with the herd, doing what everyone else is doing. Now, everybody wants to be happy. We all want to be happy. All human beings want to be happy. The real issue is, do we know and can we come to understand what we need to do to be happy? And do we have enough love and compassion for ourselves and enough inner strength to be able to do that? So everyone wants to be happy. What they do, what we see other people doing, they're doing because they think it's the way to happiness. So, we're like, well, I'm not going to really think, I don't need to think, or I'm not going to think so hard about where happiness lies and what I need to do for happiness, because all these other people are looking for happiness and this is what they're doing. So in order to be happy, then I should just do what they're doing. That must be the way to happiness. That must be the way to happiness. So this is kind of how we, this is what it means to be acculturated, to have a cultural karma, or, and it's part of, that becomes our own karma. What people have done do in other cultures isn't necessarily what we do in our culture to be happy. But we kind of go along, we look at what people are doing, and we just go along with the current, go along with the stream. We think that, everybody else is doing this in an effort to find happiness. That must be the way to happiness. But the question is it? Is it? We talked about this last week in terms of, the cultural bias or the cultural assumption is that happiness comes from material gain. If I have more money, I'll be happy. And if I have more money and can buy certain possessions, then I'll be happy. Right? I mean, why would people spend so much time trying to make a lot of money? Because they think that's the way to happiness. So, do we question that? Do we question that? I mean, the Buddha questioned that. I mean, he was following the ways of the world in his time, which weren't so different than in our time, really. But he questioned that. He asked the question, is what I'm doing leading to happiness? One of the primary ways in which we look for happiness, and essentially what I'm saying here is that, one of the primary ways of the world, the ways of the world are really the ways people in general look for happiness. One of the primary ways of the world, one of the primary ways that human beings look for happiness is in what we could call external sense pleasures. So there's a variety of external sense pleasures, food and sex. And one of the ones that, you know, the Buddha talked about a few very specifically, really. He talked about food, he talked about sex, he talked about sleep. And one of the primary forms of external sense pleasure that the Buddha talked about was what he called entertainments. So even 2,600 years ago, long before the days of television and Netflix, you know, the Buddha recognized that, you know, the sense pleasure that we achieve from these external modalities was something that we needed to question, that this is where we tend to look for happiness. And, you know, of course, he questioned that. So certainly there's a lot more entertainment forms, you know, but this is where we tend to look for happiness. I mean, if you think about it, even at the time of the Buddha, he was talking about it. It's so much a part of the way that we live in our culture. So much of the time that we spend, you know, it's always, to some extent, preaching to the choir here, and a lot of us may have changed some of our patterns, but so much time and effort, so much of our lives, because what we do in our lives, you know, we do ostensibly because we want to be happy, but because we don't really look and see whether or not we're going to be happy, we may not necessarily be doing the things that bring us happiness, but so much of what we do in our lives in the effort to find happiness is spending time, you know, indulging in the different entertainment forms. I mean, our culture is just so overwrought with, you know, the different types of entertainment and the different sense experiences that are offered and that we derive through television and movies and computers and so on and so forth. I mean, it's a huge part of our culture. It's a huge part of the way that people spend their lives. I mean, you know, the research is, you know, it's like how many hours a day people spend on television. You know, the research that they're doing now about how much time a day kids are spending on computers, you know, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Video games. I really kind of feel like fortunate. I kind of grew up before that era. When I was talking about this recently, and it wasn't in this group, it was some other context. It might have been when I was teaching at NYU or something, and people were kind of coming up after me and just talking to me about how it's such a problem, just this overindulgence and the emphasis on, you know, the computers and the cell phone, you know, and how, you know, and I remember this one young woman was saying how much it was, how distraught she was in terms of how much it was overwhelming her life. So, I kind of grew up in the television era, so. But you know, I think television is certainly one of these entertainment forms that we tend to indulge in a lot and look for happiness in. So, you know, we watch shows, we watch sports, whatever it is that we're watching. We watch news, you know, we watch the cable news. We watch television. Do we question whether or not, you know, and questioning is different than saying I shouldn't do this. So that's different. You know, wisdom is about questioning. You know, you could say, well, I shouldn't watch so much television, but really the practice is one of questioning what you're doing, not doing what you're doing, but questioning what you're doing. Because ultimately, we only change through wisdom. We can't force ourselves to change. Most of us know that. So we watch, but do we question? Do we consider the possibility that watching television might not be the way to happiness? Might not be the way to happiness. Because I think, you know, we watch, and then maybe we try not to watch, but we don't consider the idea that television isn't the way to happiness. We think, well, this is the way to happiness, and that's why I spend so much time on it, but I really shouldn't spend so much time on it. You know, that's kind of what our thinking really comes to. You know, we're really not questioning whether or not it's the way to happiness. We may be questioning, you know, we may be concerned about how much we're watching it. Do we ever consider the possibility that perhaps we don't have to watch? That we don't have to go along with the herd? Do we ever consider that possibility? I mean, to me, that's really a remarkable thing. I know in my own process, you know, when I see into this truth that, you know what, I don't really have to do this, because there's a big part of my mind that thinks this is what you have to do. Of course, this is what I think I have to do. This is what I've been told all my life. This is what I've been doing all my life. The idea that, you know, I don't necessarily have to do this in order to find happiness is, I mean, that's insight, that's wisdom. You know, and that really comes from asking that question. Do I have to do this? Do I have to do it? Well, of course I have to do it. Everybody else, do I have to do it? Do I really have to do this? Do I really have to do this? Or what about the smartphone? We just go along blindly with, you know, the stream, the cultural perception that having a smartphone and using a smartphone is a way of accentuating your happiness, a way of finding happiness. And that's the herd mentality. That's the herd mentality. See, I mean, people know, not everybody here knows me so well, but, you know, I mean, I've always refused to get a smartphone. And mostly because, to be honest, I don't want to go along with the herd, you know? I mean, it's just like, I just don't want to do what everybody else is doing, just because everybody else is doing it. You know, because that's dangerous, you know? That's dangerous. That's dangerous, to go along with what everybody else is doing. We lose ourselves. We lose our ability to question. We lose a connection to what's inside of ourselves. We stop relying on what's inside of ourselves, and we rely on what everybody else is doing. Why do we go along with everybody else? Because we want to go along with everybody else, because it's easier. And the Buddha was really clear about that. He says it's much easier to go along with everybody else. His famous quote, he said, you know, you can go along with the current and it's going to be a lot easier for you. If you decide to go against the current, you're going to weep and you're going to cry. He said, but eventually you'll get to the point where you'll know a greater happiness. I was part of a panel in this workshop with teacher trainers, training teachers. With the Spirit Rock Community Dharma Leaders Program during this past week. You know, basically they wanted me to come and talk about what I've done, you know. And I kind of talked about, and they asked me to do this, to talk about the model that I've kind of developed for myself and in which I'm a fully self-supporting teacher. Kind of like what I talked about last week, actually, kind of fit in really nicely with that. And, you know, I said, look, you know, this is how I live, you know, and it would be a great discussion afterwards, you know, and one guy raised his hand, young guy, and he's like, man, it sounds really good, but, you know, I just don't want to give up all my stuff. It seems like you have to really give up all your stuff. You know, he says, how can you do that? Can you give me some ideas how I can do that? Because I just, feel like I can't do that. And one of the things I said to him, to the group, was, you know, I reminded them of what the Buddha said. You know, he said, "This sounds like renunciation," he said to me. He said, "Well, you know, the Buddha's definition of renunciation was we forsake a lesser happiness for a greater happiness." I said, "This is what you have to come to understand. In giving up certain things, you're doing that in the service of finding a greater happiness. It's not about deprivation if it's done skillfully. It's not about, you know, the hair shirt and causing harm to yourself. It's actually just the opposite. It's a way to a greater happiness." But we don't understand that until we ask those questions and begin to look and to see. In other words, we, in this practice, learn to rely on what's inside of us, not on what everybody else is doing and telling us we should do. So, you know, now, I usually don't like to get too current event specific, but maybe we need to do this a little bit more, not so much with current events, but in terms of these very practical aspects of our lives, the way we live our lives, you know. I mean, so much of the way that we live our lives, you know, particularly for people like, you know, I mean, I think for most people, but, you know, we're all, you know, concerned citizens of the world, you know, and the degree to watch that we watch, like, the news and the television news. I mean, I almost laugh sometimes, like, I never watch, like, the Channel 2 news or the Channel 4 news, but that's all we had back in the day. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, somebody, you know, stole a stop sign on, you know, whatever. It was like that kind of stuff. I mean, now it's 24 hours a day, heavy duty stuff. So, you know, it's like the news all the time. And, you know, now with the election, all the stuff on the election, on the 24 hour news channels, or the debate, the debates. We think we have to watch, right? We think we have to watch this stuff, right? I have to watch this stuff, right? Everybody's watching it. I can't possibly not watch it. You know, and of course, then we can come up with reasons why we should watch it. You know? But do we really have to watch it? Do we really have to watch the television news? Do we have to watch all the stuff about the election? Do we have to watch the debate? I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. What I'm saying is you should ask the question, not just to do what everybody else is doing because they're doing it, or not to do what everybody else is doing because other people have given you reasons why you should do it or why it's the responsible thing to do. Ask and look for yourself. That's our practice. See? That's wisdom. And what ignorance is not looking to see if our actions are leading to suffering and to happiness. And of course, that's what the Buddha is concerned with. The Buddha is concerned not with, you know, are you more informed by watching the news? The Buddha is concerned with, are you suffering more or less? Are you moving closer to happiness or away from happiness? That's what he's concerned with. That's what we're concerned with here, is what we're doing leading us to happiness or to suffering. So ignorance is not asking those questions. I mean, that's the Buddhist definition of ignorance, not asking whether or not, you know, ignorance begins with not asking whether or not what you're doing is leading to suffering or to happiness. And then, you know, if you don't ask, then you can't connect into your wisdom. So wisdom is asking those questions and then more and more understanding in the heart. So ignorance is not asking the questions and just going along with the culture, just following your past karma. Just following your past karma. Just doing what you've always done. Just doing what you've always done. I mean, I didn't come to this practice so I could keep doing what I was doing. So this is our job, to look at what we're doing and to ask, is this leading to happiness? Do I have to do this just because everybody else is doing it? Is there a possibility for not doing it? Might that possibly be a way to a greater happiness? Sometimes we say there's a temporary happiness that comes from the TV and the smartphone and the debate. So our job is to look and to ask the questions, but not to judge. Not to judge what we're doing. It's not about judging what we're doing. It's not about judging ourselves for doing what we're doing. It's not about judging the TV show or the debate or whatever. It's not about seeing things in terms of right or wrong, good and bad. It's seeing things in terms of what is what I'm doing a loving and compassionate action. What's the most loving and compassionate action I can take? What action leads to happiness? What's in support of the heart? I mean, that's what the Dharma is about. The Dharma is about living from here, living from the heart, and letting our heart show us the way in our lives. The idea being that in the heart, we understand what will lead to happiness. And in the heart, we have this wish for true happiness. That's why when we practice metta, we try to connect to our wish to be happy. In the heart, we have this wish for happiness, true happiness, a reliable happiness, happiness that's not dependent on things outside of ourselves. So the practice, you know, that's there. The practice is really about doing what's in support of this inner wisdom. What's in support of the heart, what's in support of the love and the compassion that's within us. So when we look at our actions, when we look at, you know, and again, this has to be done without judgment. It's not a question of judgment or right or wrong. It's a question of the truth, the truth. When we look at our actions, if it's watching television or using the phone or watching the debate, the question really, in the end, comes down to, is it good for the heart? Is it good for the heart? In watching this and in doing this, am I taking care of the heart? Am I looking after the heart? As I spoke about on the retreat yesterday, in the Metta Sutta, the Buddha says that just as a mother would take care of her newborn infant, we should take care of our hearts. We should take care of our hearts. Think about that. Are we taking care of our hearts just the way a mother would take care of her newborn infant? Or is what we're doing in following these ways of the world and doing all these things that we're doing in entertainment, is it harmful to the heart? Is it harmful to the heart? So this is what we have to do on this path. This is what we have to look and see. Are we looking after the heart? Because this is a path of wisdom and love and compassion. This is a path, as Jack Kornfield famously said, of the heart. So on this path, it's the heart that leads us to happiness. So we have to look after the heart. It's the heart that will see us through. So let's just close our eyes for a minute.